Let's take this all to a level that God intends for us in this evening's service in Judges 16. So let's stand together. Verse number 25, it says, "So it happened," and here's the story as the Holy Spirit has described it. "So it happened when their hearts," speaking of the Philistines and their leadership, "were merry, that they said, 'Call for Samson that he may perform for us.' So they called for Samson from the prison, and he performed for them." Now, on the main floor of that temple of Dagon were all the leaders of the Philistines. Up in the balcony, it'll tell us about how many people were looking down onto what was going on the main floor. And they stationed him, it says, between the pillars. "Then Samson said to the lad who held him by his hand, 'Let me feel the pillars which support the temple so that I can lean on them.'" So anytime that you are looking for a victory in life, use what is available. That's one of the lessons from Samson. He was a little boy who was kind of guiding him around, and he said, "Let me feel the pillars. Take me to where they are so I can lean on them." Use what's around. "Now the temple was full of men and women, and the lords of the Philistines were there. About 3,000 men and women were on the roof watching while Samson performed." So you had all these on the main floor, and you had a whole bunch up in the mezzanine balcony. "And Samson called to the Lord, and he said, 'Oh, Lord God, remember me, I pray. Ask God for favor. Ask him. Strengthen me, I pray, just this once, O God, that I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes.'" Give God a reason why he needs to answer you. Why does he have to fulfill this request? "And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars which supported the temple and braced himself against them, one on his right and the other on his left. And Samson said, 'Let me die with the Philistines.' And he pushed with all his might." Push after you've prayed. Put some legs behind it. He moved those pillars right off of their stone foundations. He pushed with all his might, and the temple fell on the lords and all the people who were in it. So the dead that he killed at his death were more than he had killed in his life. Wow. Father, thank you. Bless you. I honor you. Strengthen your body. We are living under kingdom grace. We anticipate you have something special for us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated, please. Your kingdom come, Jesus said. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Are you ready for this? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's presence is intensifying in these end of days. The reports I'm getting are absolutely phenomenal from some of the folks that are working in parts of the world where the gospel has been forcibly run out and forced out and kept out. And the revelation of the Lord, as young men and women are seeing visions, literally visions, as the Spirit of God has poured out on them, of Jesus himself coming to them. It's amazing. And the enemy at the same time is acting out, but the Holy Spirit is raising the victory flag of Jesus. So I'm speaking God's word over your life tonight. There is an oasis in your desert place. We declare every assignment from hell will have to turn and go another way. Illness, hear this truth. The healer is in our corner. He's on our team. So let me share tonight about kingdom grace for one more push. It says in Judges 16, "However, the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaven." We've heard the story of Samson through the years. Many of us who've been around the church our lifetimes have heard this story from all kinds of angles. From childhood, we read the story of Samson. We heard sermons about Samson. We've heard of his relationship with Delilah that led to his capture and his fall. But I'm not going to rehearse that tonight. I want to speak about him. I want to relate this passage to where we are prophetically in this place tonight. Some think they know everything. I only know some things, one of which is this, where the body of Christ is in our day. And I'm constantly searching the heart of God for what God is saying to his church and what God wants to do in this season. The backstory related to Samson. The Philistines have captured him because he had compromised his God-given principles as to living as a Nazarite. The Philistines cut his hair. There had been a great lapse in his Nazarite commitment, and a Nazarite was never to have his hair cut, ever. No razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb. Drink no wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. A very special calling on this young boy. And in the cutting of his hair, not only did Samson lose his strength, he lost the rights God had given to him. They were forfeited. And the Philistines went on to constrain Samson and then proceeded. The Philistines took him and put out his eyes, which was another tactic and something that happened among those that warred against each other in terms of battles and countries and battles against each other. When they would take over, when they would capture one of the leaders from another country or from their military, one of the things they would quickly do is put out his eyes. They would burn them out, gouge them out. When you put out one's eyes, you're saying, you will never reign again. And now they're humiliated because they're asked to do some of the most menial tasks without the ability to even see where they are or know how they're navigating in their circumstances. You have no eyes for vision, naturally. Neither does he have any eyes for destiny or purpose. When the enemy knocks out your eyes, you are blind. He has absolutely blinded you. You will never rule in the capacity with which you once ruled, was what they said to Samson. You're done. Everything you hope to be, everything you thought God wanted you to be, is over. They put Samson's eyes out to assure he would never rule or have any authority again. And the Philistines further humiliated this once powerfully anointed servant of God. They bound him with bronze fetters, and he became a grinder in the prison. But going unnoticed to the Philistines, Samson's hair began to grow. One of the great howevers, I love the howevers in God's word. However, the hair, thank God for hope and promise. However, the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaven. This was a sign that God had placed grace upon Samson. I want to speak of kingdom grace. There is strength and hair growing back. And we have to pay attention to this. It's captivating. The enemy thought if he could cut off the source of your anointing, blinded you, put you in bondage, you would no longer focus on vision and neither would you receive any provision. Provision has to be in place when you have vision. And once the enemy takes your vision, he cuts off your provision. The enemy steals your resources. He takes away from you those people who support your vision. He had no one around him any longer to cheer him on and encourage him. They all headed in the opposite direction when the hero of Israel was captured. His eyes were put out, and now he was made a mockery of. And they thought by putting out the eyes of Samson, they were taking from him his vision, and ultimately they were taking away his provision and his support system. They believed Samson would never rule again. Samson was done. Tell your neighbor, you have spiritual authority over your adversary. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
Let's look at what God's saying here. Do you know who is seated next to you? The person seated next to you was called to walk in power over the adversary. You are not called to be subjugated to the adversary. Are you listening? Amen. You were not called to live under oppression. You were called to rule and reign with Christ. Amen. You were called to be the head and not the tail. You were called to be above only and not beneath. That is who is seated nearby you in the church, in the body of Christ. And if you're reading this story in a hurry, you can read right over this very important truth. God was giving Samson another chance. Samson told God, "I messed up. I repent." And how do you know Samson repented? His hair began to grow back. And check him out in the New Testament, because he made the 11th chapter of Hebrews. What more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets. Anytime an individual, a church, a community, a state, a nation begins to repent, growth starts to happen. It was evidence of his heart had turned back in the direction of God. And when we begin to practice a heart of repentance before God, spiritual growth begins. Eventually, natural growth also starts to take place. There had to be repentance, and God had to bestow kingdom grace because growth began. Kingdom grace began to manifest in him with regrowth of his hair, a symbol, a sign of what was going on in here. And periodically, we need to look into the face of our Father and say, "Father, I am sorry. I repent. I was wrong." And when things begin to get difficult, frustrating, there is this tendency to get upset with God and to get angry over our circumstance. Not that God was doing it to us, but we end up going to the negative. We drift into a direction that is not pleasing to God. And I just got this article this afternoon from an individual who helps people in business about the negative. We've got to be so careful. We start asking God, "Why did you do this?" And I'll get to that in just a second. "Why didn't you intervene? Why didn't you prevent this?" And when we come to our senses, then we have to say, "God, you were right all the time. You were 100% on it, and I wasn't. I don't know what happened, but I've come under oppression. Would you help me?" But in a divine however appearing over your life, somehow also appearing over Calvary Christian Center, God's favor is returning to us. There is spiritual growth beginning in the hearts of people, and because of it, we are regaining strength. We might still be grinding just a bit. We might still be fettered just a bit, but the evidence of regrowth is starting to appear. And that means God is placing a new level of kingdom grace and favor on his people. We have God's kingdom grace being applied. Anybody need that? Anybody want that? Now watch this. Where we are today, we might not be tomorrow, because God is placing his kingdom grace on us to move from the grinding place to an exalted place. Let the Philistines, like them, some may have used you for entertainment, may have picked you apart on social media. And some people, I don't get this, but some Christians scour social media to find out what's the latest, if there's anything negative going on about people, negative about you, because they are negative people and they feed on negative. All of a sudden, they see nothing but positive, because there's regrowth starting to take place. And instead of seeing the negative column, they're starting to see a positive one. Because whenever God begins to restore you with his kingdom grace, negative begins to dissipate. And if God favors you, others will begin to favor you as well. Because as Jesus matured, he increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Amen? With both. Let me give you a word. Get ready. God is not just favoring you in private. He's giving you favor with men. Thank the Lord. God wants to give you favor in the marketplace, in the place where you live. Someone you didn't know even existed will begin looking for you, liking you, and be a catalyst for you in your life. You won't have to go searching for them. They'll be looking for you. And when this type of favor comes upon your life, it doesn't matter how long you've been grinding, how long you've been without vision, if God chooses to favor you, if you prepare yourself to do one more push. God is getting ready to do something in you you've never seen done before. I believe something is breaking here in the atmosphere at Calvary. We have come into our identity, and when the enemy pushes down on us, we pop back up. Ministries pop up. The enemy has pushed us down, and we're popping back up in another area. The Philistines thought they had stopped Samson. We've got him. Now they wanted to be entertained, so they pulled him out of the prison and away from the grinding mill to be entertained by him. He would provide them in entertainment while they drank and made merry in the temple of a demon god called Dagon. A young man had the opportunity to lead Samson into that temple. Samson had no sight, but he had kingdom grace working on his life. Some people just came to help you see. Amen? Thank God for people who come to help us see. Samson's strength had returned. The young man was positioned to assist him and to aid him and to help him. See, be careful what you reject while you still have strength and power, because some of these things catch up, right? But number one, Samson utilized the sight of the young man when he had none of his own. I can't see this place, but you can. So take me over there to the pillars that hold up this building and let me lean. I just want to lean against the pillars. I want to feel where I'm about to push. And for everyone who just wants to sit back because you think you've served long enough in the church, there's at least one more push in you. There are still some good pushes in all of us at Calvary Christian Center. If we are ready to put God first, if we're willing to do what God has asked of us, we've got the younger crowd covered because there are enough of us in here to push. Some think they're in a midlife crisis. No, you're not in a midlife crisis. You just need to know what pillar to lean up against, where you're best suited to serve. It's not that you're tired. It's not that you're weak. You are very strong. You just need somebody to lean on. And the longer you live, the more negative experiences you start accumulating. And you've got to constantly guard against that stuff creeping into your spirit. And here's what that article says I just received today. Your mindset matters. Man, this guy could have helped me preach my message this morning. Your mindset matters now more than ever. He said, we are in the midst of a drug epidemic. The drug negative news. The drug pushers, the media. And there are a lot of people addicted to negative news. And he says, I wrote in my article called Abundance, the Future is Better Than You Think. He said, we pay 10 times more attention to negative news than positive news. We are being barraged with negative news on every device. The constant onslaught distorts your perspective about the future and inhibits your ability to make a positive impact. And in this blog, he said, I want to share new evidence. And he talks about the charts and data and all the stuff. And I'll also share positive news about technological breakthroughs, all of which have occurred in 2017. He said, this is not about ignoring or minimizing the major issues we still face around the world. It's about countering our romanticized views of the world in centuries past with data. My hope is that you're able to see the world as it is, a world that with God's help will get better because of his presence. So he said, you need to protect your mindset. Protect it. Because listen, the longer you live, the more negative experiences you accumulate, it will affect your vision because of what you've gone through so often and so repeatedly. Because you've been through so much, you've been taken advantage of, misused, and now you feel like you can't do any more because you've exhausted all your resources. You just need somebody you can trust so you can get to the place where you can lean, baby, and you can lean in strong. Not only are we going to lean in a minute, we're going to push. Start reading the word because it's speaking to us tonight. Number two, Samson was positioned to achieve victory and restore his honor. It was a dishonor for him to be where he was. A dishonor to be in a pit grinding. He had to gain his honor back. If you were at this level and you dropped to this level, the enemy wants to mock us based on our last level of success. But what if God's kingdom grace comes upon us? See, what if God pours grace back into our lives via his kingdom principles? And I'm not speaking about doing anything in your own strength. I'm speaking about the strength of the Lord in us. We're not building on pastors preaching. We're not building on worship ministry alone. I'm speaking of God's kingdom grace manifesting in us, and that our part is to push. Samson had uncut hair, living as a Nazarite, and because he was faithful to God in those areas, he lived free. He was free. When he compromised, he lost his hair. But he lost more than that. He became bound. Now, Samson is in a position, once again, where he can achieve victory over his enemies and restore his honor with the Lord. I didn't address Delilah tonight because she represented a part of his life that helped bring dishonor to him. It's time to stop talking about the things that caused you to fall and begin to start talking about the things that will take you where God wants you to go. I'm so tired of talking about the past. What about the future? If there is a future, let's talk about it. If there's a future, let's shout about it. If there's a future, let's give about it. If there's a future, let's broadcast it wherever we are. Amen. Number three, God's kingdom granted Samson one more push. God's kingdom of grace is more than your starting place at salvation. It's more than, well, I got my ticket out of hell and I'm going to heaven and I'm cool. I'll show up for church maybe once a week or so and I get to live life the way I want it without worrying about the afterlife because now I'm going to heaven. Listen to me. He didn't call you just not to go to hell. He didn't call you just to make it through the gates into heaven. It goes way deeper than that. So come on, he writes to the Hebrews, let's leave the preschool finger-painting exercises on Christ and get on with the grand work of art. He's painting a picture. Grow up in Christ. The basic foundational truths are in place. Turning your back on salvation by self-help and turning in trust toward God. Baptismal instructions, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment. These are all the foundational principles of our faith. God helping us, he said, will stay true to all of that. But there's so much more. Let's get on with it. Amen. God has another assignment for you, taking you further. And as a part of that promise, he promises you that he will supply kingdom grace. When Samson's hair began to grow back, it was a sign that God was being gracious. Now, research tells us and history tells us in the times of that era in history that the enemy should have paid attention. When Samson began to feel the hair growing down his neck, it should have immediately spoken to him, my days are not over. I'm not finished. The enemy that came against me better not throw a party right now because I'm on my way back. Tell your neighbor, I'm on my way back. Amen? And no matter where you've been, if you've received a downgrade, let me speak God's truth over you. Receive an upgrade tonight. Once you were in joy and in peace and in happiness, then suddenly you found yourself in depression. Get ready for an upgrade tonight. Once people were happy with you, now people kind of avoid you. Get ready. Your upgrade is here tonight. Anybody want to grab that? Snatch that in the atmosphere. God graces, and he grants Samson one more push. I like to study, and I like watching people for the purpose of understanding how they're wired and why they do what they do, and be an observer of human nature. Because after you've observed it this many decades, she'll tell you, you can almost predict the next step. Now, some people just talk too much. I said, some people talk too much. I'd rather curb it and just observe. Mm-hmm. Now, during our early years, there was a lot of pushing and advancement in the kingdom, but something happened in the church and the Western culture. People grew content. We moved from the other side of the tracks to the better side of the tracks. But God says, I need to get another push out of you in these last days. We need new babies being born into the kingdom at Calvary Christian Center. God's kingdom grace says there is another push in you. And if there's another push in you, he'll assist you to gain fresh vision and tear down the gates of hell. And if there's another level of giving in you, God wants to push us there. Some people started out right, but then they regressed instead of progressed. Instead of continuing what God started in them with passion, they just kind of lumber along now like, oh, well, who cares? But when you regress, everything else will regress around you. But when you step up and you begin pouring yourself into the kingdom, give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over, pouring into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. And people wonder why it's not running over. Well, they made a retraction instead of an advancement. When it's time to give, we should get excited. We should get happy. Whether it's giving of our time or our talent or our treasure, we should be happy. You should know giving time is advancement time for you. Because the more you push in and the more you press in, listen to me, the more you're going to see advancement in your life and in his kingdom. Knowing your children and your children's children are following you, you're sowing seed, you're setting up destiny for your great-grandchildren. And every person should be thinking strategically like that when it comes to the church. It is not about the here and now. It is not about me and what I'm doing in my work right now. It's about what the church will look like after I step off the stage in years to come. What's it going to look like when I'm done with the push I'm giving it? Amen? God grants Samson with an opportunity for one more push. Now, he had accomplished a lot in his young age. I mean, he literally lifted the bronze gates off of the city. These are the biggest, heaviest parts of the city entryway. He lifted them off of their hinges and he carried them on his back to another place so the city could no longer lock itself up. One time, 1,000 soldiers trained by the Philistines attacked, and Samson got into the middle of this fight. He took the jawbone of a donkey and killed 1,000 Philistine soldiers with nothing but the jawbone of a donkey. Now, this is a dude that did some damage, okay? That was great. But God still had something greater for him, even when he had a setback. Tell your neighbor, God has something greater. It's not what I did yesterday. It's what God wants out of me now and in the future. Did it make you nervous when I used the word push? I think it did. And I'm glad it did. Because God wants to get us a little bit uncomfortable. So let's go ahead and give the spirit of fear an eviction notice tonight. Amen? In the name of Jesus, you have nothing to say to us. We bind your mouth, spirit of fear. We've got the love of the Lord and the power and the wisdom of God working in us, and we don't need any negativity in our thoughts or our processes. In Jesus' name, because fear torments, but perfect love casts out all fear. I'm not tormented, and neither should you be. If God has kingdom favor for us, we're going there. Is there a witness here tonight? I said, if God has kingdom favor, we're going there. We're going to push forward. And Samson's last push represented one more season to reclaim honor. It brought victory back to Israel, what he did that day. You see, this is a season for pushing. This is a time when God is getting ready to see the last few moments of history wrap up and bring together the body of Christ in a way that only he could in these last moments in time. And before that happens, it's one last push for the harvest. And God is asking us, can I get one more season from Calvary Christian Center to push? One more season where they don't just attend church. One more season for them to push hard. We pushed in the past. Let's push for one more season. And God is asking Calvary Christian Center, can I get grandmothers and mothers to push one more season? You who think you're retired, need to go sit somewhere on the bench. No. Can I get some Promise Keeper men to push for one more season? Can I get one more push season out of prayer and intercession? Can I get one more push season out of the gift of wisdom? Can I get one more push season out of our deacons? Can I get one more push season from department heads? Can I get one more push season from our ushers and our greeters? Can I get one more push season from our pastors? Can I get one more push season from our worship team? Can we all push one more time? Can we push? Can we shift one more season until we rattle the territory of the enemy and no weapon formed against us shall prosper? And God is saying, if you can give me one more season of push, if they can be faithful for one more season. Now let me help you. There's a generation coming behind us that will not know victory if you don't do one more push. And we will bring in another generation who have been raised in dysfunction and raised in brokenness in many cases. And I know in my knower, there is one more kingdom push for this next generation before Jesus returns. And it doesn't take anything but commitment and consistency to the Master to make one more push. And if you'll push one more season, you'll do more than in the entire history of Calvary Christian Center. Because God intends this last push to be the biggest and the most impacting in all of New Testament history, as it was with Samson in his last push against his adversary. Samson's one more push represents one more season to reclaim honor. What's that look like, Pastor? Honor. Remember when you were in every service? Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, prayer meeting, every church event, eager to be here. I don't have a pin, do you? Can we give God one more push? Some are waiting for the new building to begin. Can we give God one more push and step up and say, here's what I can do to make that happen, and actually write it out and sign it? Excited? God's plan to move forward. The enemy wants to stay, stymie and stop. You believe God. Now you've got questions rolling around in your head. Pick up God's word for one more season of push. Because I believe the Spirit of God wants to move one more season, and it will change everything when he's done. Everything. One more season of kingdom grace where we bare our souls. And we repent and we renovate our souls. And it's no longer soul management, it's soul transformation. We're ready to take back our territory. One more push. Well, Pastor, I don't know. You know, I was hurt in church. One more push. I've been hurt too, but I'm still pushing. And I didn't get anointed because everything in our lives went well. I got anointed because I walked through hell and came back. God has asked me, give me one more push in this season. One more push. And if you can just live a holy life and give him one more push, if you can walk in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, God says, give me one more push. I dare you to see what one more push will do. Evangelize one more push, because the church that's anointed and full of the Spirit of God, and they begin to tell others about the Lord, has become an unselfish church. When they are reaching people in their community with the message of Jesus and the love of the Lord, they have become an unselfish church. They're giving it one more push. Evangelize one more push. Tell everybody you know, God's doing something amazing in my life and doing something amazing in our church at Calvary. One more push. When you walk into Walmart tomorrow and you check out the cashier, one more push. Leave her, leave him with something positive about the love of the Lord. One more push. When you go to your office tomorrow, one more push for the employees. One more push. Because they need to know who you are and what you have. You can move the pillars right off their foundation stones with one more push. Number four, we have one more season to push for God's success. What God said is going to come to pass. If we've got anything floating around in here, we are watching what's going on in our culture, in our world, and we're saying, God's saying something to all of us. God is speaking in all these tragic disasters. A season can go on for 3 months, sometimes three or more years. It can. Seasons can last, come and go spiritually. But there's a snowball effect that's starting to take place. And things are going to continue to go faster and faster like we've been watching. God will work so completely, the devil will not be able to do anything about it. Because God simultaneously is pouring out his Spirit. And you're in a position, you're almost there. You might not have eyes to see everything, but you have kingdom grace. All you have to do is push. Push. Many people inches away from breakthrough when they give up. Inches away from healing before one bad choice and they get shipwrecked in their faith. Inches away from God making a radical change in their life. Tonight, don't quit. Overcome. Push. One more season. We cannot afford to lose a generation. We have to have believers coming after us. Because if we don't, and there will be no one to fill the roles, no one to step into position, no one to bring their tithe, and all ministries begin to shut down and collapse. We cannot lose a generation. We have to have believers coming after us. And this is intense. It's because our season is now, and God wants one more push season from all of us. I challenge everybody here tonight, push one more season. Why don't you stand to your feet and make a little noise in this house tonight? Amen.